You're listening to Word Slinger Podcast, episode 79. Write Anything Anywhere with Ulysses co-founder Max Zalemon.
Writing a book. It can be the best way to build or grow your business. Or to simply tell the story that you wish to tell. Learn how to write your book in 30 days or less. Pick up 30-day author today from Amazon, Apple iBooks, or other online retailers.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand, write your book, redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Hey everybody, this is Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger. Thank you so much for tuning in. By now, hopefully, you are fully aware that I am a full-time novelist. I do this stuff for a living. So there is there's this sort of obsession I have when it comes to writing resources. Now, I am sort of one of those guys that I've always been obsessed with ink and paper. And so I had Moleskine notebooks and things like that. Now, I don't write longhand. I've written a few things longhand, but I usually use that stuff for taking notes. So there's that aspect of this. But another aspect is software. I am an Apple guy. I'm a geek in that. And I love really good writing software. And for the past 2 or 3 years, at least, I have been very dedicated to using Scrivener as my sole writing tool. Now, for decades, I've used Microsoft products, and that's just sort of a given. I can't get away from them because of the work I was doing. So as a copywriter, if you're working with anyone else, you're essentially going to have to use Microsoft Word at some point. And I still use Microsoft Word for a few tasks here and there. It does have its strengths, but I, like everyone else, would like to move away from Microsoft Word at some point, and all things Microsoft, frankly. But now, I have used Scrivener for the past, I think I've used it pretty extensively for at least the past 3 years. Most of my books were written in Scrivener, most of them, a very large majority. But recently, I kind of got a little irritated. Now, I still love Scrivener. I still think it's an amazing app. I still offer it as a resource on my resource page at kevintomlinson.com/resources. You can still download that, and I still highly endorse it. I think it was a tool that was almost single-handedly responsible for me being able to develop the method I use for writing. But they really had a hard time with the mobile app. Now, recently they've announced the beta for their iOS version, which is great. And I will probably try it out at some point. I may even migrate back to Scrivener. I don't know. But I will tell you, personally, it's a little too late for me. Like, I had to move on. Because I do use, like, my iPad, for example, for writing. I want to be able to edit on my phone when I'm on the go. And so I had to find another solution. And I searched high and low. I tried probably 100 different apps at the suggestion of many different people. Some of which I liked, some of which I did not. Author Stephen Gould, who wrote Jumper, recommended IA Writer for me for the iPad, and I liked that. I mean, it was all right. It was a very focused writing app, but didn't suit all my needs. So along comes Ulysses. Nick Thacker actually turned me onto this application, even though he himself does not really prefer it. He'll use it, but he doesn't really prefer it. But I started checking it out. Now, it's a little different. It's different than most writing apps that I've used. It's different, certainly, than Scrivener. It's similar to Scrivener in some ways, but different in that it uses markdown language and that sort of thing. Now, that's basically, it looks kind of complicated and complex when you see it on the screen, but the reality is it's very simple. Once you kind of figure out that this is all about the writing and not about the formatting, it becomes very simple. So I've written several things in this now, but I just completed the Coelho Medallion. And by the way, that's available for pre-order on Amazon. You will find a link to that in the show notes so that you can go pre-order your copy of Coelho. That's my first thriller, by the way. I'm very excited about it. In fact, I kind of want to derail and talk about that, but I'm not. I'm not. Maybe later. So I started using Ulysses because, frankly, because it was mobile. I could use it across platforms. I could use it on my MacBook Air as well as on my iPad. I could edit on my iPhone. I can write on my iPhone if I want. And those things, that made this very versatile and important to me. So I've now written a couple of books on this, and I'm very, very pleased with the results. One of my favorite features is the ability to instantly export as a well, anything you want, as a Word document, as a PDF, as an ebook. Formatting is included. Once you kind of figure out how the style sheets work, you can actually make your book look and feel exactly the way you want. I actually exported Coelho Medallion as a print-ready Word document with the margins and everything in place, some special features in place, you know, to make it look nice. I did take that into Microsoft Word to do a little layout adjustment. Not adjustment, just some tweaks. And I could have done that in InDesign as well. It has the ability to open your document. Upon export, you can open your document in Word, InDesign, half a dozen other apps, whatever happens to be on your machine when you edit. So I could have taken it into InDesign, decided to try it out in Word because, you know, Word can be a little more user-friendly at times, and it turned out beautiful. I mean, the book looks gorgeous. I can't tell the difference between that and what I would have done in InDesign. So, you know, we're going to see how it works. I got the proof is on its way, actually. The proof copy is going to be delivered in a few days, so I'm looking forward to it. So, all that said, to me, Ulysses turned out to be essentially the perfect writing app, so I am I'm pleased. I mean, I'll try out Scrivener when it comes out for iOS. There's not much in Scrivener that I feel is lacking. But then again, I'm not an outliner. I'm a pantser, and from a pantser's perspective, there are a lot of features in Scrivener that I don't use. So there you go. Maybe that's it. So anyway, we're gonna get to this interview now because we're 7 minutes in. I would appreciate if you'll stick around after. I'll save all the housekeeping stuff I normally do until after the episode. But I hope you will enjoy this interview because Max was a great guest. He knows his stuff, and they've developed a fantastic product. So stick around then for this fantastic interview with Max Zielemann. Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we're sitting with, and I'm going to try very hard not to do this wrong. I'm going to do it right the first time. Let's try it. Max Zielemann. Did I get it right?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Max Zielemann, and that's a German pronunciation, and so I am not German, so I have to practice those things, and I don't hide that practice. So Max is actually the co-founder of The Soul Men. He's the creator, one of the creators of Ulysses. Which I'm surprised I would mess that one up. It's an app that allows you to write anything, anywhere, and I can attest to that. I love this app, so I needed to get Max on this show. Max, thanks so much for being on with us, man.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm not kidding about my enthusiasm about this app, by the way, because as soon as I learned of its existence,
it's really great.
No, it's just damn near perfect. I mean, it's. I've been a Scrivener user for the past several years. I've been a devotee of that app. I'll be honest with you, and I still like it. But one of the biggest problems for me was that they were taking so long to go mobile, and more I'm finding myself in scenarios where I could appreciate being more mobile and being able, for one thing, to edit on the go. And that's something that Ulysses allows me to do now. That's perfect, and now I want to know the whole backstory about where this came from.
It's a long story.
Yeah. Well, let's go. We got 45 minutes. Let's do it.
Okay. So, well, let's start at the very beginning. So when I was still a student, still in school, there used to be these mailing lists. Mm-hmm. Today you have forums and Reddit, but at that time there was nothing like that. So you had mailing lists, and some guy on that mailing list he sent an email, hey, I have an idea for an app. Is there anyone out there who can program and who wants to do the app? And I replied, yeah, I have time. Right. Let's do an app. And this turned out to be Marcus, my co-founder, eventually. And that's now 14 years ago that I got this email and that we started working on Ulysses.
Wow, that far back.
Yeah, that far back. I mean,
that's pretty amazing.
When we first launched, it took almost a year to do it. So we launched in 2003. That time, so if you're a Mac enthusiast or have been using Mac since that long, mm-hmm. There was no Safari yet. Safari right. just entered beta, and there was no Spotlight searching and nothing like full screen or spaces or right. time machine backups. Nothing like that were there at that time. So it's really, really long ago.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just got a call on my watch, and I know I wanted to silence it before it interrupted your interview. I'm sorry about the pause there. So,
no worries.
That's the funny thing about modern technology, by the way. It likes to interrupt us as much as possible. So,
yeah.
Just, you know, this is interesting to me because in 2003, I was in a very interesting part of my career because I was shifting from film and television to writing full time. So it's interesting that at the same moment you guys were creating a writing tool. So what was the idea then, though? Because now it's like it seems the focus of Ulysses at this point is the whole write anywhere aspect of it, meaning you yeah. can go mobile and that sort of thing. But that probably wasn't the idea at that time, prior to the invention of the iPad, for example. So
no, what not was at your all, goal not there?
What was the original goal of software?
Marcus, he wanted to write a book, so that was his main initiative, and
okay.
he wanted to write a book, and he looked for apps that were suited to write for writing books, and he found nothing. So in 2003, there was no Scrivener or the like, so there were no apps that were dedicated for writing. There were code editors for developers, and mm-hmm. there were, like, I would say for secretaries, like Word.
Right.
A lot of people use Word for different things, but he said it is for secretaries, so I'll right. just stay with his
we'll naming. Leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he thought about what could be a good writing app, and he came up with a concept, and then he looked for someone he could do it with, and he found me. So and okay. there was nothing, not much from my side in there. So I was just a developer, and he was the concept guy, and we worked through this, and over time the concept grew into something different. I mean, we've been on this for 13 years, and we've redeveloped the whole idea of Ulysses 3 years ago.
Right.
And this was probably the biggest turn in the history of the app. So it was still about writing, but we found the initial focus of writing books and novels too limited, and realizing that there's a lot of other forms of writing, like bloggers or journalists mm-hmm. or just taking notes.
Right.
And so we expanded the scope of Ulysses, and when it became possible to go mobile, then the concept evolved into this anything, anywhere. So the anything part has been in there for quite a while, and the anywhere is now finally possible.
Right. You guys are integrated with, or you have integrated into the software, the ability to sync up with Medium, to post yes. to Medium. Are there any right. other platforms that it can sync to?
Not yet, but okay. we've just started a beta, and we will add WordPress in the next release.
Excellent.
And then go from there. So,
might I recommend Squarespace?
there's so many blogging platforms. Yeah,
I know.
Out there.
I know.
We just count a request, so I'm counting yours.
Okay. And, good to know.
We end up with the numbers, and then we pick the highest one and add that, and yeah. then we look for the next one. So we do.
So I have no hope of getting Squarespace anytime soon, but that's okay. That's okay. I can cut and paste. It actually is okay for that. I mean, there's a little bit of in between I have to go through to do that, to cut and paste and keep formatting. But I think it works fairly well. So I'm happy with it.
That's good.
So one of the interesting things you guys have a focus on the writing, purely the writing. So yes. you don't include formatting tools, which is, I'll be honest with you, was almost a turnoff for me at first until I started playing with it and realized how much I actually liked. You guys use a Markdown language.
Yes.
Can you explain to the, you'll be able to do this better than I can. Can you explain to the listeners what a Markdown language is?
Well, it's not so much about Markdown, actually. It's more about plain text. So
okay.
The idea is that you're writing in plain text, and everything you can write or express is words. So which is
right.
Essentially the core of anything you're writing is the words. If the words are not good, it doesn't matter how you format it.
Right.
And the idea is to focus on the content of your text and to care about the looks later.
Right.
And just pure text is a bit too little, so you need some structure, especially for longer pieces. So you need headings, for example, or you want to place some emphasis. And this is where you introduce simple characters that denote formatting, like a heading. So you use a hash for having a heading of mm-hmm. the first order, and two hashes for having a heading of the second order, or you use asterisks for emphasis, or double asterisks for strong emphasis.
Right.
And so that's the idea where it comes from. So you keep your fingers on the keyboard all the time, and you have no ability to be distracted by the formatting, but you still have the ability to express structure in your text.
Right. One thing that this is something that's been interesting to me, and I know that you can change the sort of look and feel of the writing environment, and I pretty much just stuck with the default. So the things I'm describing to the listener, the things I'm describing are part of the default. So if you get this and you try it out and you switch the way everything looks on screen, this may not apply to you. But one of the things that I enjoyed was when I do emphasis or strong emphasis, or if you're in the U.S., italics and bold, what's interesting is how it changes the color of those bits of text. So emphasis is red and strong emphasis is blue, I believe. I may have those reversed. But what that does for me, which is interesting, is while I'm editing, I can see where that formatting is going to be. Even, you know, and you can essentially see the formatting. I mean, it'll show it to you. But I can see at a glance, okay, I have a ton of bolded statements in this paragraph. Like, I might want to tone that down. Or, you know, it helps me. It helps me a great deal in the editing. So it's very interesting. I have grown to love it, actually.
it's sort of an interesting thing you bring up there, because when you're in a traditional book writing business and you're sending in a manuscript, and you have parts in your text that are italicized in the end result, your editors will most likely ask you to make it bold in the manuscript to be easier to identify.
Exactly.
So they can better see which part is supposed to be italic and which not, but by making it bold. So that sort of goes in the same direction, that color is even stronger probably.
So what you're saying is the publishing industry needs to start using Ulysses as its default app. That's what you're saying.
Of course.
I can kind of agree. Now, I have a writing partner and a podcast partner on another show named Nick Thacker. He's an amazing author, and he actually is the one who pointed this app out to me, because I was looking for an alternative to Scrivener, because I was just sick to death of waiting for the iOS version, to be frank about it. And also, there are some layers of complexity in that program that I don't necessarily need to be bothered with. So one of the things I truly love about Ulysses is the simplicity of it. I'm still on a bit of a learning curve as far as the final formatting goes. I'm kind of still using the defaults and haven't quite mastered how to alter them to my taste yet, but I'll get there. Do you have resources for that for guys like me who once we're done, we just want to jump in there and make some quick changes?
So we do have a couple of tutorials on our blog. So it's a bit difficult to find. So if you go to the blog and there's a loop, and when you enter the right search term, you will find them. Mm-hmm. We're currently working on turning that into a knowledge base, because we've so many tutorials already and tips and tricks or smaller bits of information, and we are currently working on turning this into a well-organized website where you can find all the tutorials and the getting started guides. Yeah.
So but that would be greatly appreciated. But here's what I want to say. It's not really a caveat. It's sort of an add to for what you just said. Because you guys, one of the things I truly appreciate about your business is that you guys are really responsive to like support requests. And, you know, if someone says, I can't find this, someone is always within like a day, someone has responded like on Twitter or whatever to let you know where something is or to help out. And you guys are really receptive to suggestions and that sort of thing. So I appreciate that. That's something you don't get from just anyone. So.
We put a lot of energy into that, and
I bet.
it's also become a sort of main selling point for us that existing users recommend us not only for the application but also for the support, so that you don't have the feeling of buying something and then being left alone with it. That's really important for an app. Like if you're a professional writer and you write all day and you have one writing app, then that's one app you spend all day in.
Right.
And so that's pretty important part of people's business and people's day and life. And so it's important to pay attention to everybody there.
Right. And also for those of us who this is what we do full time, that's me. I mean, this is what I do full time. I want to concentrate on the writing. I don't want to concentrate on all these other things. And so many of the tools that we encounter out there as authors are meant to help us. But when there are problems, it's left to us to figure it all out. So I can tell you as one of your customers, I mean, I greatly appreciate the assistance, because I don't have time to go learn, you know, every nuance about your software. You know, I mean, I just don't have the time. So it's really appreciated. That's where you guys, I'm going to bring them up again, but that's why you guys are very similar to Squarespace. Squarespace has the same kind of idea behind the way they deal. So that's why I want you guys to kind of get together.
We should really look into that. Okay.
You should. I promise
I will put it up for you.
Okay, there you go. And I only push it because that's what I use. Most people use WordPress, so you're really better off focusing on WordPress. But if you want to help out a WordSlinger, I appreciate it. So this, now that you guys have your universal app, and that's the one that brought it all together. Now I can actually write from my iPad or my MacBook, or I can hop onto my iPhone if I want. All the same environment, all looks and feels the same. How did you pull that off? Because I swear, no one else is able to do that. So how did you guys manage to do that?
To be honest, it's really a lot of work. Just
I bet.
So my partner Marcus, he's the designer essentially. So he's making all the concepts, and so he's really excellent. So that's a good thing to have and to begin with. And then we spend a lot of time on it. I think the versions you're using right now is we spend like 20 years. Of engineering, so many years. So we have it's 5 years of working for 4 people to get that to the point where it is now. So that's a lot of energy, a lot of testing, and a lot of refinement and reworking and throwing away stuff that you once wanted to have, but that just doesn't fit. And it's a really, really tough process that we...
It's kind of like being a writer.
Yeah. And it's experience in the end that makes it possible to get to a product that's really, really, really great for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's 13 years of working together with Marcus that really makes a difference here.
Right. So it's good that, you know, he's an author, right? I mean, that's why he wanted the software.
He never wrote that book.
No, that's okay. I'm going to say this. That's a common tale that I've heard from the guys who start developing software kind of in this genre, we'll say, this type of software. They almost always start because they want to write a book, and then they never actually end up writing the book.
He does write articles and
good.
Blog posts, but
good.
Never managed to get that book started.
He'll get there. Tell him to talk to me. We'll talk. I'll help him out. So I was going to ask though where that was going. I mean, so where are you getting the feedback on features? I mean, at this point, I imagine it's easy as you have users who are actually, you know, jumping in and using the software. But yeah. Through the development process, like what led to adding some features that the software has? How are you getting sort of feedback and research on your market?
We get tons and tons of emails, really. That's probably one of the main sources is people telling us what they want, and then we collect all of that and then take a step back and look what is the grand picture in there. What is the common theme? Can we make this request and that other idea maybe into a one solution that solves this for all of them?
Right.
And that's just a lot of thinking about it and trying different things and looking at other apps as well. So that's to be honest, it's a real important part of the development is to look at other apps and see what they've done well and what they've done not so well. And then thinking how could they have done it better, and then trying to translate that to the Ulysses and seeing how we can make that possible in the app. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, so one example to make it less abstract, maybe.
Okay.
If you add a link in Ulysses, you may know you get a little bubble, and then you can double click on it or double tap on an iPhone, and then you get a layover or a popover where you can enter the URL.
Okay.
Whereas in other Markdown apps, you have to write a syntax where you have to square bracket, then text, and then round brackets, and the URL.
Right.
And when we started working on the Ulysses redesign 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I was coming up with an idea that we replace this complex syntax of writing square brackets and round brackets and having to remember the syntax with something that's more intuitive. And then we did some research and did long discussion fights, I would say, about how it could work and what would be the best option. And eventually I managed to get Marcus on my side, and then we did this with the bubbles, and it's sort of like a link in a web browser, except that it's not opening the URL but editing like metadata for the URL.
Right. And, Squarespace does that too.
That's good. That's good.
So that's cool. I don't know. I swear that's the last time I'm going to really try it. The last time. When I love a brand or a company, I talk about them a lot, especially when they look like they could jive together. So that's where that's why it keeps coming.
I don't
up.
Mind that. Not at all.
So one of the approaches you guys take is to, the idea is a library, right? Like everything you write is in this library.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still kind of playing around to figure out the best way I want to handle that, because it can be organized. But when I've got like these, you know, tons of these things, I'm kind of trying to figure out like the best way to keep it from overwhelming me. But I basically just start a new folder per project, and I'll retire those somehow, some way. I don't know how yet. I'm still new enough to it that I'm still learning like the best practices. I'm sure you guys have a tutorial somewhere. So you guys are tying this all in with iCloud for storage, right?
Yes.
Do you do any other? I don't remember if you were able to do like Dropbox or anything like that. Is it just iCloud?
So right now it's just iCloud on all platforms, but on Mac you can have Dropbox. As well, but Dropbox has a limited feature set, but we are bringing this Dropbox with a limited feature set to iPhone and iPad as well in the next release.
I see.
But we strongly recommend iCloud because it's the simplest to set up. So there's no setup; you just install the app and that's it.
Right.
And it's also probably the smoothest to sync.
It seems slower though to me, to be honest with you. Like it I have to actually open up the apps and let them take a few seconds to sync up.
We know why that is. It's because Apple tries to optimize iCloud for power usage.
Okay.
So they don't want to waste your power. If you were like on Wi-Fi all the time and connected to the power all the time, it would probably be all there when you open the app.
Yeah.
But they don't want to like sync all the time when right. you're not in the app, and that's why they do it this way.
Okay.
One can discuss about that, and we are talking to Apple to make changes there and allow us to have some control over it.
Yeah.
But right now it's a bit difficult. Because they're optimizing so heavily for power usage.
Right. It hasn't like there hasn't been an issue with it yet, as far as I know. Other than, once I realized that there was kind of that slight delay there, then yeah. I started taking time. Like I flew to Dallas. Over this past week, and before I left, I made sure to turn all my devices on, open Ulysses, and let them all sync.
Yeah.
So that I was in the same place.
It's a little silly, I know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is, but, you know, I'd rather have to take that step. I mean, at least I know it's there, you know, so that works out fine.
We will try to get rid of that, because we get a lot of people asking us to make that even more seamless.
Yeah.
And some parts of we have control over, and some parts we don't.
Right.
So,
right.
And for the parts we don't, we are really actively talking to Apple, and we have I hope we have the right contacts there to make changes that are in our favor and will help make it a better experience for right. everybody.
Well, I mean, that's a very small detail, honestly. Well, it can be big. I mean, it could lead to multiple versions of a document, I suppose. If yes. something didn't sync up and you got, you know, if I were writing on, say, my desktop or my MacBook and I left that behind and carried my iPad with me, then I could end up with a multiple version of the document. But you guys have some fail safes kind of built in for that as well, though, right?
Because yes.
it's already saved me once. I had multiple versions of a chapter, although it did ask me if I wanted to revert to the most recent version, and yeah. when I did, it wiped out what I was writing. But that was kind of a unicorn issue, I think.
we do have built-in backups yeah. for making sure that you cannot do really bad things. So you yeah. can only do like little bad things.
Right. I will say, okay, just to make everyone who just cringed feel a little better. It did keep what I wrote. I just had to go back. Excuse me. I just had to go to a different file and then sort of integrate the two. That was it. It didn't like wipe out everything I'd been working on and it was gone forever. It was still there. It was just now I had two versions of that chapter.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very difficult to merge them because it just started where I left off, basically.
Yeah, that's something we have on the radar since the beginning when we realized there would be conflicts because you're not always connected or you may work may have a device offline while on the plane or so
right.
and we do want to make that better, but we have a long list of to-dos, and it's still there, it's still open that right. we do that, but
you're always going to have a long list of to-dos.
Yes, sure. So, but now, so if you ask yourself, is this the number one issue I have? You would probably suggest Squarespace publishing first, and not making the conflicts solve automatically.
Right.
So
that's, Honestly, that's a
problem we have on a scale of a factor a couple hundred, because we have so many different areas that could use improvement, and we really have to start somewhere.
Right. Yeah. No, I have no complaints, really. I mean, there is a learning curve. I mean, for anyone listening here, there's a slight learning curve. If what you're used to is sitting down at something like Microsoft Word or, you know, tools that actually focus probably more on formatting than writing ease, if you're used to that, it's a little jarring to get into your environment. I mean, I've spoken to people who are so uncomfortable, like they're, I don't know. It's like swimming away from the wharf. Like they don't want to get too far out, you know. And they're worried that they'll spend all this time writing their book in this, and it's not gonna ever look the way they want it to, or you know. So I want to comfort everyone in saying that this is just the writing environment, and it's like what you've done is separate writing and formatting.
Yeah, you can always export to Word, for example.
You can, and frankly, right now, that's what I do because it's easier for me to do that than I'm still learning the markup link or the CSS and all that, how to manipulate that to make it look the way I want on export.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to do that because it's faster, for one. And I feel like I'll have more direct control. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
I will say this. One of my favorite features, this is probably hands down my favorite feature, is that instant look at various formats of this without any sort of compiling or anything. I can literally click a button and see what this is going to look like as an ebook or as a Word document or whatever. That's just brilliant. And it's baffling to me that it's able to do that fast.
Yeah. We spend a lot of energy on getting things right. Yeah.
Right. And that's a good one. I mean, and you're doing it across all platforms.
Yes.
Yeah. That's just impressive. And is there, you've got various like downloadable templates for like ebooks and that sort of thing, but are you guys looking at anything that might make the whole formatting process a little easier for people who don't?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. So that's when we did the customizable export. So it wasn't in there since day one. We added it a little later.
Okay.
And when we did that, we were discussing making a UI, but we realized that making it really easy to use would have the prerequisite of us understanding what people really wanted to do. And we realized that going with a CSS-like approach would be the easiest for us at the moment and the most flexible for the users.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wanted to collect feedback, which we got. And
I'm sure.
Then we wanted to build a UI for that, which we haven't done yet. So there will be eventually a UI to make that that styling much, much easier. And it still needs a lot of thought. So we have already collected the feedback, and we have like a long list of things people want to do. And we will see if we can turn that into an interface or how we can make it easier, but it's definitely on the list. Yeah.
Yeah. That. Okay. So that's very exciting to me.
Don't hold your breath, though.
Okay. No. Just knowing that it's coming. I mean, you guys. You know, maybe it's going to take 3 years, but I mean, you'll get there. I trust you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I've had to kind of figure out a couple of workarounds on a couple of things just because. Not because of the software, but because of the way I think and when I try to use this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's very friendly for that sort of thing. Like now, one thing I noticed is like if you do the preview instead of exporting it as a Word document, for example, if I just preview it, you know, you can cut and paste from that preview.
Yes.
But it grabs like page numbers and things like that, so it's just something to be aware of. Whereas if you export it, you can, you know, it puts those in the header and footer instead, and that makes it easier. But if you're like, you know, you just wrote a quick blurb and you want to post it to your blog, you can grab that with no trouble. I appreciate that feature in particular.
Cool.
So, yeah. No, you guys are doing it all right, man. So what's the kind of, I don't want to like delve into anything that's top secret or anything, but other than, you know, the UI for the editing and all that. I mean, what are some interesting things you guys have on the board for future development?
So right now we are working on a sort of a smaller, bigger release, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So we always have bigger releases with new features, and then we have bug fix releases in between that add essentially no features. And the next feature release we will do is not the big one, like where we reinvent everything, but we add a lot of things that are commonly asked for, like what we had before with the Dropbox integration on iOS and the WordPress publishing, for example. Right. So these are the next things, and then after that, we're not really really sure where we're headed, but essentially it will boil down to expanding the scope even more. So there's still limited usability to to researchers, to academic writing, right. And for example, tables are often requested, and then we get a lot of requests for screenplay writing, right. And that's something we have on the radar as well. And then always there's a lot of people asking for stuff, like for example, like you asking for Squarespace. You're not the only one, I can tell you.
Okay. Oh, good.
And yeah, and I think just two other people today. And then we'll select features that are often requested and integrate well with the app, and then we go one step at a time. So Squarespace publishing might be coming sooner or later.
Yeah. It would be interesting. No, I don't want to turn this into like, here's all the features that I would like to see you add. but I mean, it would be interesting to see like, and maybe there's a way to do this and I'm just haven't discovered it yet, but like, organizing research so that I can just reference it and hop in and, you know, like more than just like, here's some text that I've written or copied and pasted, but like, you know, here's, videos and audio clips and things, you know, stuff like that would be cool. But I don't want that sort of thing added at the expense of what you guys have built, though. So
I totally understand. So,
yeah.
Feel free to request anything, and we take the freedom to decide what's a good fit and what's not. So
of course.
But even requesting stuff that may sound so seem ridiculous at first sight, maybe really a good fit when like turning it a little bit and rethinking it a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's really that's sort of a problem for us. There's so many areas we will have to improve on, and we're really going to improve on that we don't know where to start. We have like a backlog that's
right.
Will take at least 3 years to implement, and
right.
and I guess when we're there in 3 years, the backlog will have grown to 5 years. And
well, but yeah, I think you're doing it right, though. Like the focus has been on here's a simplified writing environment that's also powerful and
right.
And is also available. That the anywhere aspect of this is the most appealing feature to me.
Yeah,
the ability for me to, well, I'll give you a great example, because I don't know how often you fly, but you know, I've been flying fairly frequently.
Okay.
And I used to try to write on flights, but it just became, even with the like just the small iPad, it's too cumbersome to try to write while I'm flying now. But I can sit with my iPhone and I can edit, and which is exactly what I did. You know, so the flight to Dallas from the Houston area is only like, you know, an hour or so. But for that hour, I can sit and edit, you know, my current book. And as soon as I hit Wi-Fi, it syncs up and everything is there. That's
right.
Unbelievably cool for me. Like, you know, and the joke, by the way, is I tell everyone I can finally edit when I'm in the bathroom. So
yeah,
that's a big win.
that's really something we're hearing a lot since adding the iPhone version. So the iPad was a good step, but the iPhone really changed the games, because, I mean, you have your iPad with you often, but not always.
Right.
And you have your iPhone with you wherever you go. Even if you go out on a night out, you don't take your iPad, but you have your iPhone. And if there's an idea, you just can quickly shut it down and it's there, and you won't forget about it.
Exactly.
That's really been and very important.
It's exciting.
Milestone for us,
And I actually did write a scene. I had an idea for a scene as I was editing. I realized I'd left a little bit of a gap in the narrative and decided, you know, I need a new scene, like literally at the front of the book to open this up in Prologue. And I pop up and using the little on-screen keyboard and autocorrect mostly, I wrote, you know, maybe four or five paragraphs while on the flight, and I wouldn't want to try to write an entire book that way. But I mean, adding scenes or adding, you know, a little bit of dialogue or something, it's very quick and easy and simple, and it just meshed with no trouble. And I could even do the formatting and everything, you know.
Yeah.
So it was great. I have to give you guys props. You did an outstanding job with the mobile app.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
I love the integration. By the way, everything is the same. Everything feels the same, which
yeah.
There's no, like, relearning anything.
We spend a lot of time on that. I mean, the making the Mac app took quite some time because it's just a big thing. And then you assume, well, I have a Mac app, I only need to change the UI a bit and then bring it to iPad. But that also took a year right. of work for all of us to try to squeeze everything in without making it feel squeezed.
Right.
And then the step to iPhone was even stronger. So it was even an iPad is sort of still like a very small Mac.
Right.
But an iPhone is nowhere near. So we had to like reorganize everything or rethink everything. And when we started, we thought like, yeah, we could do this probably in 3 months. But it turned out to always also be a year right. of work to getting it on iPhone. It's we had a long beta test. We had a couple hundred users using it and telling us what they liked and what they didn't like. And
right.
Then we kept on iterating and improving and until they didn't bring up anything really serious. And then we said, okay, that's probably okay.
Right. You finally got to a point where the chatter was down a little.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I like the little integrated, toolbar. I don't really actually know what you guys specifically call it. It's the one that pops up just above the on-screen keyboard that has like formatting options.
Yeah. We call it the shortcut bar.
So yeah. that's very helpful. Cause you can add, you can sort of highlight and do, and I don't want to use the term formatting. It's just the default term I use, but the stuff that leads to formatting so that you don't have to constantly do the, Apple's little screwed up, hit this button and this button and then shift and you'll get a character. You can actually highlight and just instantly mark something as, this needs emphasis and this needs strong emphasis or whatever.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we for this bar we went through 8 revisions.
Okay.
So we had 8 different implementations, and we could have shipped probably each of those, and we just weren't satisfied. So we redid it 8 times and ended up with what we have now. So, but that's something you don't see, but you probably feel sort of that it's.
Yeah,
it's working well, but we really had to go through a lot of pain with this one, especially. So that's probably the hardest part about the iPhone app was getting this bar done, because on iPad you have so much more space, so you could just put in a lot of buttons, but squeezing that down to iPhone is not possible. And since you're holding your iPhone in portrait most of the time, probably
right.
that's the default case we had to optimize for, and that really took a long journey and a lot of discussions and a lot of pain to get that done.
Bet.
Yeah.
I will say this, like I have a small like folding keyboard that I sometimes use with my, cause I have an iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah.
And, that's a fair sized, I mean, I used to write back in the day, I wrote on a Canon, TypeStar 110 typewriter that had a tiny little strip of a display to show you what you were typing. So this is at least a step up from that. but I can actually sit down and put this, put it in landscape or portrait mode, honestly. And with the little keyboard, I mean, I can get some serious writing done on this little iPhone. So no matter what your situation, you can actually have your writing tool with you all the time. That's just game-changing for me.
Marcus said that also when he has a 6 Plus as well, and he had to run around for a lot of reason. He had to work from on the road, and after the months of working from on the road and only using the iPhone, he said this might actually be my favorite writing tool for a multitude of reasons. But he's probably also been just using the on-screen keyboard, not even an external one.
Yeah,
he's just been using it on the iPhone, and he said it might probably be my favorite writing device now.
It's definitely. I will say that if I have to write using the on-screen keyboard, this is definitely my favorite way to write. Because if I'm stuck with the on-screen keyboard, I'm already not thrilled about having to write like that with my thumbs. But it's a smooth experience. It goes very well, and I can quickly go back and edit. And there's, I mean, I know I'm not naming any specialized features that don't come with almost every sort of word processor, but it just feels much better to me. So I can vouch for it.
Thank
so,
you.
You guys, and I don't want to drop this on you, but you did put it in your notes when we were when we set up the interview that you guys are giving away 3 Ulysses T-shirts with a promo code of Ulysses for iPad and iPhone. Now, I didn't specifically know what the promo code portion of that meant, but
so you get a free version. So you get we're giving away 3 T-shirts and full licenses. So
excellent. I was hoping
promo
that's
codes
what
they call it on the app stores. Yeah.
Okay. And how can people sort of sign up for that giveaway?
Just send me an email or us an email. So
I tell you what, listeners, send me an email and I'll I'll forward everything. That'll make life easier for our guest here. We don't want to.
Okay.
We don't want to make things too complicated for you. I'll make sure they get it. So if you're listening in, everyone, you'll find links in the show notes, of course. But if you go to wordslingerpodcast.com and click on the contact button, you can send me an email to enter. And from there, we'll go ahead and we'll pick 3 winners and send these out to you. I'll get that to Max and they can handle the details. So that's pretty amazing. And listen, you're going to want to enter. Trust me, Ulysses is an amazing app. Getting it for free, I would have taken it for free. Trust me.
Thank you.
I paid for it, so that tells you something. So all right, I don't want to take up any more of your time, Max. I really appreciate you being on the show. You guys, everyone connected to you, just let them know how just seriously impressed I am. I mean, I've been writing professionally since I was 12 years old. I'm 44. I've been doing this a very long time. I've used a lot of apps, including the secretary app, Microsoft Word. I have yet to find anything that I enjoy writing in as much as I do Ulysses. So that's saying a lot. I was a big fan of Scrivener too, and still am. But you guys, I think, just blew them out of the water with this release. So
thank you so much.
It's pass really, that on for me.
It really, really goes to the heart. Thank you so much.
No, yeah. You guys did a great job. All right, everyone, stick around. Max, thank you so much for being on. You guys continue listening after the interview for a little bit of wrap up, and I'll give you some more details on the giveaway, I'm sure. Be sure to check the show notes. And that's it for this interview with Max Zaleman. Did I get it right that time? Yes. All right. Max Zaleman and the Ulysses app. You're going to want to check that out. You can find that, by the way, at ulyssesapp.com, or you can search the Mac App Store or the Apple Store on your iPhone or any iOS device. So thanks a lot and see you next time. All right, that was my interview with Max Zaleman, and I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you, honestly, I hope you learned a lot about that app, but I hope even more that it inspired you to actually go out and find a resource that works best for you so that you can write anywhere, anytime. I think that, or write anything anywhere. That's their actual tagline. That's their actual slogan. I love Ulysses. I'm not going to lie. I highly endorse it if you are just starting out and you're looking for the perfect app to get started to build your writing career quickly. There is, I guess, a slight learning curve to Ulysses. But let's be honest here. If you are trying to use Scrivener as your primary writing resource, there's a huge, huge learning curve. I mean, people take courses. People spend thousands of dollars learning how to... at least hundreds of dollars, but I mean, people spend a ton of money learning how to use Scrivener, and I endorsed a lot of that. And we had Joseph Michael on the show. He wrote the Learn Scrivener Fast course. He created that course, and I endorsed that. If you want to learn Scrivener, it's a fantastic program. It's very powerful, but it's not doing it for me anymore. And so maybe it'll get better. Next round, it'll be awesome, and then I'll be doing a whole other show where I interview those guys or something. So, anyway, if you're just starting out, especially, I think Ulysses is probably a great app. You can get away from the idea of and having to look pretty while you write. Get away from the idea of formatting as you go. That's not your job as a writer. And if you've read 30 Day Author, you know I'm real big on telling you this very important fact, which is that when you are writing, you have one job and one job only, and that is to write. You're not an editor. You're not a formatter. You're not anything but an author at that point. So I love this app because it encourages that behavior. So there you go. All right. A little bit of the housekeeping before we go. If you would like to help support the show, you can do that. I really appreciate it. If you go to wordslingerpodcast.com, you can find the Patreon button. There's a menu item up above you, and there are Patreon logos on every single episode of the Wordslinger Podcast. And you can go and commit as little as $1 a month, which is like paying 25 cents per episode for the Wordslinger Podcast. I have this lofty goal to actually raise $5,000 a month in revenue from this show, to support the show, support the production of the show, but also to help the show expand and reach a bigger audience. I really feel like what I do, the interviews that I have with these entrepreneurs and authors, I feel like they add some real value to the world. And I'm going to continue to do that. I mean, I don't make any money from this show right now, and I do it. So I think you can count on the content, but this is a way for you to help me extend the reach of the whole thing. You can also help me extend the reach by simply going to iTunes, finding the Wordslinger Podcast on iTunes, and leaving a review. And you know, I love 4- and 5-star reviews if you're feeling generous. But leaving a 4- or 5-star review and then actually writing a review just to say what you like about the show, you know, tell people that, you know, you endorse it or that you think they should listen or why they should listen. I mean, those things are very helpful in helping the show to be discovered by more people. So if you are enjoying the Wordslinger Podcast, I hope I entertain you, first of all, because I'm an entertainer. That's what I do. But I hope also that we're kind of inspiring you and helping you grow in your own business, in your own career, and personally as well. There's a lot to this, man. Wordslinger Podcast has a lot of, I don't know, it has a lot of spheres of influence, it will say, overlapping spheres of influence in the Venn diagram that is the Wordslinger Podcast. You know, it's all about career and personal development and just, you know, living the best possible life you can live, man. I really want you to do that. I want that for you. I want it for your family, your wife and kids, your husband and kids. Don't want to exclude anybody here. I want it for your community. I mean, that's what this is about. So if you have questions for me or any of my guests, if anything at all, really, I answer a lot of questions about writing in particular because that is my field, and I'm happy to do that. But you can literally ask me anything, and I'll go hunt up an answer one way or another. But it'd be kind of funny to see what I get from that. But you can call me at 281-809-WORD. That's 281-809-9673, where you can leave me a voicemail. You're the Leaf Blowers. They always kick in right when I'm doing the show. So you can leave me a voicemail there, and you can also do that online at wordslingerpodcast.com. You can also leave me an email. You don't have to leave a voicemail. If you'd prefer to not have your voice broadcast, that's fine too. Just go to wordslingerpodcast.com, click contact, and then you can send me an email on any topic you like. If I can't answer your question, you know, I'll do my best to try to find an answer for you, find someone else who can answer it or whatever. Literally ask me anything. If it's not appropriate for the show, I won't play it. But if it is appropriate for the show, and you've heard this episode and other episodes, I'm sure, if you think it's something that could add to the conversation and benefit others by hearing the answer, ask me anything you like. I don't care what it is. Physics? Go for it. Marketing? Sure. Whatever. Anything you like. And if I can't answer it directly, I'll find someone who can. So those are some ways you can support the show. One more way, my favorite way, is buy my books. If you want to help support Wordslinger Podcast, you can support the guy who produces it by buying and enjoying my books. Now, I literally just released the Coelho Medallion. Now, I always recommend that if you're an entrepreneur or an author, you should buy 30-day author. That's a given. That's at the head of the show. Very valuable. But, if you're into fiction, if you're looking for something good to read, I just released my very first full-on thriller. I've written books that I think fall into the thriller category in the past. This is the first one that's actually being marketed fully as a thriller. The Coelho Medallion is a, well, think about what would have happened had the Vikings met the American Indians in the interior U.S. Now, that's not the entire story. This is a contemporary thriller where Dan Kotler, the character I've created for this and other stories now, he's embroiled in some real world drama, real contemporary drama, thanks to the discovery that Vikings had contact with American Indians, Native Americans, hundreds of years before Columbus even discovered the U.S. So it's interesting. It was a lot of fun to write. So you can get that on pre-order right now on Amazon. You'll find a link to that in the show notes. If you just search Coelho Medallion, that's Coelho Medallion, as in Coelho the author, but Coelho Medallion, and that will take you to it. And you can also go to my author page on Amazon and find it there. So it's available for pre-order. It releases on May 31st, and at that point, the ebook is available then. The print edition is going to follow very quickly after that, so be sure you check that out. So hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope that if you are writing, you're using something like Ulysses or Scrivener or whatever it is, but I hope you're using it daily. I hope you're getting a lot out of it. And if you need help, just let me know. That's what I'm looking for. So take care of yourselves out there, and we will see you all next week.
Wordslinger.